Anya and the professor had organized the dig members into teams responsible for searching for supplies that might have survived the flooding. Prizes turned up with hopeful regularity, though many of them were farther inland. A lot of the food and water was in waterproof containers. Unfortunately, many of those containers were buoyant. The deluge had ripped the tents free of their stakes and allowed them to be carried inland or back out to sea. At the very least, Anya could say for sure that they weren't going to starve. Her satellite phone had allowed Lochata to get in touch with rescue centers in Kanyakumari and request assistance. According to the dispatch officer Lochata had conversed with, the city hadn't been hit by the tsunami, but several small villages had almost been wiped out.
We were very lucky. Everyone survived the experience.
I know, Professor Rai. But the flood destroyed the dig site.
What was buried under the earth will still be there when we are ready to begin again.
Are you going to continue the dig?
If I'm able. I still have to contact the university.
It seems a shame to walk away from it now. We've just gotten started.
I agree.
And it's not likely there'll be another tsunami.
I don't think so either.
Do you think many of your interns will stay on?
I can only ask. For many of them, this will be a grand adventure by tomorrow. Something they'll be able to brag about to their classmates when we return to university. However, they have to return in 2 weeks, no matter what. That's all the time I could arrange for them to be away from their studies. I was not able to schedule this for the summer due to the monsoon season.
You can always threaten them with their grades.
Hey, I found gold!
Across the water, brown and thick with dirt and debris, one of the male college students held up an object that held the dark yellow luster of gold. He had to use both hands to hold the object.
Let me see that.
Lochata took her glasses from her vest pocket, slipped them on, then reached for the object the young man held. Anya peered over the professor's shoulder for a better look. The object was hardly larger than Anya's closed fist, but it was too heavy to be common metal. It looked like an egg, elliptical in shape. But at the top, a fist poked through.
What is it, Professor?
It appears to be a mechanism of some sort.
Is it gold?
I believe so, yes.
Where did you find it?
Right here. I stubbed my toe against it. I figured it was just a rock, but when I looked down, I saw that gold color. When I picked it up, that's what I found. Am I going to get to keep it?
Dude, if I can't keep one lousy skull out of the dozens we found, there's no way they're gonna let you keep a solid gold paperweight.
It's not a paperweight.
Then what is it?
No one makes a paperweight out of solid gold. Except maybe Paris Hilton or Britney Spears.
Anya watched as Lochata's fingers found the hidden release inside the egg-shaped device. The device split open like the sections of an orange to reveal the figurine inside. It was a woman, at least from the waist up. She held one fist above her head. In the other, she held a short whip. But below the waist, she was a snake. Her serpentine half sat in a tight coil.
A ship! I see a ship!
Wearily, Goraksh Shivaji lifted his head and stared out at the bleak expanse of the Indian Ocean from the deck of his father's ship, the Black Swan. He'd barely managed a handful of catnaps during the night. He should have been home in Kanyakumari, studying algorithmic design paradigms. The professor this semester was harsh. College life wasn't easy for him. It didn't help that his father expected him to work a 50-hour week in the warehouse. Over the past 2 years of his career at university, Goraksh had thought about telling his father that he was quitting, but he needed the pittance his father paid him to pay his tuition. Jobs were hard to come by, especially ones that worked around a college schedule. Also, working in the warehouse guaranteed that he could live in his father's house. If he was on his own, he knew he wouldn't be able to make ends meet. As it was, when Goraksh finally graduated, he was going to owe a small fortune to the university. He would have his degree in computer science. Then he would be able to get a good job in the United States, maybe designing video games, and finally leave his father's warehouse behind for good. But that was the dream. Tonight, it was all about working for his father. If you could even call piracy work. Rajiv Shivaji was a hard, lean man in his early 50s. He wore the turban and steel bracelet, the kara of the Sikh, and his beard was full. He also carried a .357 Magnum revolver in a shoulder holster. The man stood at the prow of the ship and held on to the railing. It was easy to imagine him sailing with the likes of Sinbad the Sailor and other heroes. Except that Rajiv wasn't a hero. He was a pirate and a thief, and he had set sail with his crew after learning the tsunami had struck. They'd expected to find several ships swamped at sea. So far, they'd found none.
Karach, do you see the ship?
Not yet, brother.
He held the high-powered binoculars to his eyes and swept the surface of the sea. The light hurt his eyes. He swayed to the rise and fall of the waves as the cargo ship strained under full sail.
Faizi!
Yes, Captain!
Do you still see the ship?
I do! It's only a short distance away!
Faizi leaned so far out over the edge of the crow's nest, it looked as though he would tip out and fall to the deck. He was old and pot-bellied. His beard and hair had turned snow-white long ago. Goraksh's eyes followed the direction the old man was pointing, then lifted the binoculars again. This time he saw the ship. He knew then why he'd lost it. It was upside down. Judging from the rough, unadorned exterior and the barnacle-covered hull, the craft was a cargo ship. It was one of the lunkers that local businesses used to cross the Indian Ocean on regular routes. Goraksh thought of the ship's crew and wondered what had happened to them.
Well,
I see it.
Where is it?
South by southwest.
Helmsman! Set a course for south by southwest!
The crew came about sharply as the ship took on a new heading.
Are there any survivors, Goraksh?
None that I can see, Father.
Goraksh kept scanning the boat from prow to stern. He knew they weren't looking for survivors. Anyone who had lived through the storm would only complicate things.
Trim the sails!
Goraksh put his binoculars back in their protective case. Tension knotted in his stomach when he thought of what might lie in the overturned ship's hold. Goraksh braced himself as the ship came alongside the cargo vessel. Tires tied along the length of their port side took the brunt of the force as the ships came together.
All right, men! Get aboard and discover what the gods have favored us with on this trip!
Go with them, college boy. See how a man dirties his hands to put food on the table.
Goraksh shook his head, then kicked off his shoes. He clambered over the ship's side with the rest of the boarding crew. Under the hot sun, Goraksh held the chainsaw and worked quickly. He'd paired up with Karam, one of the oldest men in his father's crew. The man was emaciated by age and alcoholism. His gray beard showed stark against his dark skin. The saw jumped and jerked in Goraksh's hands as he held it to the task. The blade chewed through the wooden hull and threw out a constant spray of splinters. He remained aware throughout of the ship's erratic movement in the water.
There is water in the hold!
Water and what else, Karam?
We'll check, sir.
Goraksh, you'll go inside. She's the Bombay Goose. I obtained her manifest from my contact at the customs house. She's carrying electronics, computers, DVD players. Those will sell nicely on the black market. Get the scuba gear.
With the Aqualung strapped to his back and an underwater floodlight in one hand, Goraksh took one look into the ship's hold through the hole he'd cut. He pitched forward into the total blackness, except for what little light entered the hold through the cutaway hole. He stayed submerged for a moment and blew into his face mask to equalize the pressure. Then he shone the floodlight around the hold. Boxes lay on what had been the hold's ceiling or floated in the water. The air pocket between the hull and the waterline was less than 3 feet deep. Goraksh didn't know what was keeping the cargo ship afloat. Thinking like that made him nervous, though. If the ship suddenly went down, the sea bottom was nearly a half mile down. If he didn't get out quickly enough, it would take him with it. He couldn't think about that. He just had to get the job done.
Set down the net, Karam!
Here it comes!
Goraksh grabbed a fistful of the rough hemp strands and pulled the net under with him. He selected a crate at random and wrapped the net over it. Then he yanked on the rope to signal Karam and the others to haul it out of the hold. An arm settled around Goraksh's neck and shoulder. Fear ripped through him as he flailed in the water with his free hand to turn around. The dead man's mouth and eyes were open. Yellowed eyes and yellow, crooked teeth showed. Goraksh tried to swim backward, the respirator dropping from his lips. His face slammed into a suspended crate hard enough to almost knock him out. Fighting the panic that filled him, unable to get the dead man's face out of his mind, Goraksh dropped the floodlight and used both hands to shove crates away from him so he could reach the surface.
Are you through shaming me?
The crew, they went down with the ship.
Good! And maybe they didn't have time to call in this location. Maybe we'll have more time to work.
Even after all the years he'd lived with his father, Goraksh couldn't believe how callous he was. Still, he loved his father. After his mother had died, his father had raised him and had never taken another wife. It had only been the two of them. If he was ever asked if he feared or loved his father more, though, Goraksh didn't know what his answer would be.
Is anyone out there? Can anyone help us? Hello? Hello? Oh, God. Please let someone be out there. We need help. Our boat is sinking. Please. Please.
Father, why don't you answer her?
Because I don't wish to answer her.
Our boat is the Grimjoy.
Grimjoy? I know that boat. Can you locate it, Karan?
That it shouldn't be hard, sir. If we are picking them up on this frequency, I'd say we're no more than 10 or 15 miles from our position.
Does anyone else know they're out there?
So far, they've received no reply, Master Rajiv.
Good. Helmsman, set a course to take us there immediately. Karach, get on this boat, now!